Well, praise the Lord. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I think we just need to mention that all of the people who've given their life, that we have the freedoms that we have. And, you know, we sure do offer them a thankful gratitude. And, you know, we take it for granted in this country a lot of times. And it's kind of bad that we do that at times because freedom's not free. It costs something, you know, in the natural. And it's cost a lot of people their lives, and a lot of young men and a lot of young women have went off and fought in wars and come back all mangled up and everything else because they gave their body to a sacrifice that we can be free today. Is there anybody in here that was in the service? If you would you stand up? I don't think we got any today, I don't believe. Okay, yeah. Well, you stand up for your father, and we'll give you a hand clap. How's that? Yeah. You sure can. All right, that's good. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Like I say, we never can thank people enough for the sacrifices that they've made. I don't think I'm going to tell you a joke today. I've got a joke, but I don't think I'm going to tell it. But anyway, The title to my sermon today is called Memorial, and I'm going to try to get through it. And it's in Zechariah, and it goes from Zechariah 6, 9 through 15. And you know, a lot of people think Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. But you know, I want to tell you he was. And I'm going to tell you that if you really read the scriptures and understood what was being said there, it was so obvious that he was there. And it was so plain and so, well, it just sticks right out. And his whole plan of salvation sticks right out if you understand what was actually being said there. And I'm going to start off reading. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pour yourself through me. Father, you gave me this word this morning. You poured it into me this morning. And I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I ask you by your anointing to just touch hearts and let them hear the words that you would have me speak here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Zechariah 6, 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. I'm going to pause there for a minute. I'm going to tell you what. Any time that the word of the Lord comes unto you, listen.
Yes, amen.
Listen. And then don't just hear the word, but go forth and be a doer of whatever that word declares to you. But that's a wonderful thing when the word of the Lord comes unto you and begins to speak to you. And God speaks to you in many, many ways. He can speak to you personally. He can speak to you through other people. He can speak to you through situations. And whatever it is and however he speaks to you, pray each day and say, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit would say to me today. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe if you pray that prayer, guess what? You'll hear from him that day in some way, some fashion, or some form. And it says here, and when he says in verse 9, he says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, take of them even of captivity, of Hedaliah and of Tobiah and Jedidiah, which are from Babylon, and come thou this same day and go into the house and go into the house of Josiah. Now I'm going to tell you what those words mean. And when he said, take of them of the captivity, the word for captivity there it's called galal. That's the Hebrew word. And if you look at it in how they have you pronounce it, they have you pronounce it as go, and then there's a slash, and law. And you know what? The law needs to go. Because under the law, no man will be justified. And I don't even think that God, I know that God is a God of order, and I don't think he does things by chance. I think he does everything perfectly well. Yeah. And when he said, even to Hedlia, that word means worldliness. And I'm going to tell you what, when you go by the law, you're going to be in a situation of worldliness. You're going to be in a situation to where you can't do this, you can't do that, you got to watch what you say here, you got to watch what you do here. And I'm going to tell you what, that isn't what God's all about. And when he said to Tobijah, it means the goodness of Jehovah. And when he said Jedidiah, it means he has known. And said, from them which came from Babylon, and Babylon means confusion. And come thou the same day and go into the house. And when he said go into the house, that word there means literally, especially the family. And when God's really saying, he's saying, when you find yourself in a situation where you're in captivity because of the law, and there's a lot of people in captivity because of the law, in the natural and in the spiritual, because they're trying to fulfill the law. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't do it. The only way you can fulfill the law is to walk in the law of love and forgiveness in Christ and walk in his mercies. And you're going to find that any time that you have any worldliness in you, that the only thing that can take care of that is the goodness of Jehovah, or the goodness of God. And you know, that God knows exactly what it takes to get you where he needs you to be. And he will get you there. And it goes on and it says, let me get this up here so I can read it a little better. Just a second. I'll be right back with you here in a minute. Okay. I've got my definitions in with the words, and it jumbles it up a little bit, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, in Zechariah 6, verse 9, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands, let's see, wait a minute. That's wrong. I'm on the wrong page here. Okay. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and the next verse says, take of them of captivity, even Hedlia, Tobijah, and Jedidiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Now, when he said all that, he basically was saying, even when you come into the house, he was saying, come into this family of Josiah, and that means founded of God. And Zephaniah means God has secreted. And what he's really saying, he's saying that when you come into the house of God, he's got a secret. And he's going to reveal that secret to you. And back then, they didn't really know what the secret was, because the prophets had desired to look into the things of God. And yet, they were hidden. They were under the surface. And the next verse says, then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And when he said, take silver and gold, silver speaks of redemption, and gold speaks of the divine and the eternal, and make crowns and set them on the head of Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah has saved, or God has saved. And he was the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and that means Jehovah has righted. He's made everything right. And you know, the name Joshua, when Jesus came, he said, I've come in my Father's name. And Jesus' name means salvation. It means Savior, you know. And the Hebrew meaning of the name for Jesus is Yahshua, or Joshua, God the Savior. If you was to talk to a Hebrew Christian, they would probably call Jesus Yahshua, or because that's what the name literally means in Hebrew. And in the next verse, in verse 12, it says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of this place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And if we take a look at that, it says in Zechariah 12, it says, and speak unto him, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of this place, and he shall build again the temple of the Lord. In John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me, and I abide in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. Verse 13 says, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon the throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. It's kind of funny that it said between them both. But you know what it's talking about when it's talking about between them both? He was the original vine, and we are the branches. And the glory is going to be between us both. And let's take a look at that verse there. Jesus said in John, he said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. Even he that builds the temple, he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon the throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. John 17, 22 through 24 says, and the glory that thou hast given me, I have given it to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, and loved them as thou hast loved me. And it says, Father, I will also that whom thou hast given me be with me. Where I am, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given to me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. And you know, he said, I'll not give my glory to another. You're not another. He said, Father, the glory you've given it to me, I've given it to them. And that's because we're all one in Christ. And even if you read the meaning of these names here, it begins to tell you what he was going to do, you know, that the worldliness was going to be taken care of by the goodness of God, and that, you know, that he was going to deal with the confusion of Babylon, you know, in us, and you know, he was going to bring us into the house, especially that of a family, you know. And you know, he wanted us to come to realize that there was a secret that was hidden there. And let's go on a little farther. And he said in verse 14, he says, and the crown shall be to Halem. And Halem means a dream of worldliness. And you know, when God put man asleep back in the garden, it never did say he ever woke him up. And I want you to know that mankind has been in a sleep of worldliness. They haven't been woken up yet. But God's about ready to start waking people up. And you know, a lot of times he would say, wake thou that sleepest, and God will give you light. Why did he say that? Because we've all been in a realm of sleeping until we come to the true knowledge of who and what God is and what he's done. And the next name there was Tobijah, And it meant awake from the dream of worldliness to the goodness of Jehovah. And to Jedidiah, God has known. And the word there is, the next word there is hen, grace, his grace. And the son of Zephaniah, it means God has secreted. And in Colossians 1:25-28, it says, therefore I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, the secret, which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And the secret's out. It's not hidden anymore. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Every man perfect. You know, so many times we have a tendency that we say, we look at the word perfection and we think, well, how can I be perfect? You know, I still have faults. I have this, I have that. When God said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven, Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Anytime he says that, he's the one that will accomplish it. It's not you. When he says, be you, you become what he says you are. And whether you believe it or not, you are perfect. You're perfect in him. Not perfect in yourself, but only in him. And if you'll acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your paths, and you'll have that perfection. And it says, and they that are afar off shall come and build the temple of the Lord, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord. You know, in that verse 15 and 16, it says, know, and scripture tells you that, know you not that you're the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know you not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you building again the temple is partially you cooperating with God, building the temple inside of you, his presence inside of you, and also you ministering to those that you come in contact with about what he's already accomplished, what he's already done. And they that are far off shall come and build the temple, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And they shall come, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey my voice, the voice of the Lord your God. And you know what? That's where we're at right now, folks. We're at a point where he's wanting us to obey him on a daily basis. We're at a point to where, you know, I think sometimes we just want to go on our happy, merry way, and God would speak something to us, and we'd say, well, bless God, I don't want to do that today. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe I'll do it next week, or maybe I should just, he's giving me a word for this brother or sister over here, and I'll just wait a week or so, see how things turn out. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to be obedient and to move and flow with him as he speaks to you on a daily basis. But if you really hear what he's saying here, he was going to bring forth the branch, and the branch was going to build again the temple. And Jesus told you who the branch is. It's you. You're the branch. He's the vine. You're the branches. Now you have to abide in him to begin to build the temple. He builds it in you. He allows you to help build it in other folks, you know. So you have to know that whatever he's doing it in you. You know, so many times we want to push things off into, well, it's somebody else. It's this person or it's that person should be doing this. No, if God speaks to you, you do what he tells you to do. You know, just like that doctor that Rich was talking about, you know, him being off, you know, off on, he was off that Saturday. He didn't have to come in there. But you know what? I believe he heard the voice of the Lord. And he was obedient, and he went in there. And he probably performed some surgery that was maybe even beyond him at times. You know, I remember one time Dr. Warren talking about having, and I was telling Rich and Julie this yesterday, having a patient to where he did, I guess he did some heart surgery, and he said that when he opened them up, he said it was just a mess. And he said, I thought, man, this is beyond me. And he said, I just kind of stepped back and said, Lord, please help me with this. I can't do this. And he said, I did surgery, and he said, it was not my hands doing that surgery. He said, my skill level was so beyond what my normal skill level was. And you know, that's the thing, is that when we're obedient to whatever God tells us to do, we have to come to realize who and what we are. You know, we've heard these scriptures, and we've heard prophecies over the years, know you not that you're the temple of God. What does that mean? You're the temple of God. Where does God dwell? In his temple. You ever go to the temple of God, knock on the door, and he ain't home? He's there all the time. He's there whether you feel him, whether you're thinking about him, or whether you're not thinking about him. He's there all the time. And if we'll acknowledge his presence and acknowledge what he tells us to do and begin to move forward and do it, I believe this world will begin to turn in a different direction. You know, sometimes when you look out there, it almost seems like there's a lot of chaos going on. I mean, it does to me in the political realms and the natural realms and everything. I mean, yeah, business is starting to pick up. But my goodness, I've never seen so much divisiveness between government officials in my whole life. But you know what? I think we're coming to a place where the kingdoms of this world are going to come to the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
Yes,
not his senators, not his congressmen, not his presidents. It's going to get the body of Christ. Know you not that you're a royal generation, you're a holy priesthood, that you've been called forth to show the goodness of God, to show the mercy of God in situations. You know, I believe we should all pray for all of those people up there, and they need it. I'll tell you, they all need it, because they can't seem to agree on anything, none of them, you know. But I tell you what, we need to begin to take control over these things. You know, in Psalms, I think it's 81, where it talks about how long, it tells us, how long will we allow the earth to be out of course? He's talking about Elohim there. And you know, he said, I have said you are gods and you're sons of the Most High. And that's the word Elohim. And Elohim is what appeared in Genesis, in the first chapter of Genesis. When it says, and God created the heavens and the earth, it was the word Elohim. And it's not a singular word, it's a plural word. And when it says, in the beginning, that word for in the beginning is actually a Hebrew word that means the first fruits. Spoke. And everything came into existence. And I got news for you, folks. You were in Christ when he spoke, and everything came into existence. And that's why he came to redeem mankind. And he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And you know, it might seem like everything's fallen apart, and it does look like that in the natural sometimes. Like I say, I've never seen so much divisiveness in my whole life of people fussing and can't work together, can't get nothing done. Even the political parties can't get nothing done amongst their parties. You know what I mean? Because they fight with each other too much. But you know what? God's going to let all that, he's going to let all that fall to the ground eventually. Because that's not the answer. You're the answer. As you rise up in Christ, as you begin to be obedient to everything he tells you to do on a daily basis, that's what's going to begin to turn things around. And you know, that scripture in Isaiah where it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You know, that glory's inside of you. You know, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before them, what really happened was the glory that was inside of him broke to the outside. And I'm going to tell you what, they didn't know what to think about that. I mean, they were just, you know, beside themselves. And when that glory broke out, it said his raiment was just shone, you know. Well, that was because the glory of God broke out. And you know what? It's time sometimes for the glory of God to begin to break out of us. And it'll break out as we're obedient and do what he tells us to do on a daily basis. And so many times we let so many other things get in our way and keep us from doing what God tells us to do. And a lot of times we'll put it off and say, oh yeah, but I'll do it tomorrow maybe. Maybe I'll go over and talk to that sister that you told me to talk to, Lord, next week. Don't do it next week. Do it today. Do what he tells you to do today. If he sends you to the hospital, go to the hospital. If he sends you to talk to your next door neighbor, go talk to your next door neighbor. Do whatever he tells you to do. And you're going to find out that as you do that, you're going to be building the temple of God inside of you, and you're going to be building it out there too. You know, the branch is going to build the temple. But it's a branch company of people that are in the image and likeness of the Lord. And that's what's going to begin to happen. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I feel like I've kind of jumbled this up a little bit. But if you all stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, I just want you to know God's doing some wonderful things. And regardless of what's happening around you or to family members or whatever, like even with Julie, you know, God's showing himself mighty in that situation. And if you'll just trust him and begin to just give it to him and not try to hold on to things yourself, you know, all the worrying that you could do in the world will not change one situation. But resting in the Lord will. It'll rejuvenate you and it'll rejuvenate the whole situation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, to just have your way. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for the situation of each one of these prayer requests that came forth today. I thank you that you're going to move mightily in each one of them. I give you all praise and glory for it. I ask you to just touch each one of these situations. And Father, we just so rely on you. We so look to you. And we're most careful to give you all the praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.